Tuesday's Zone Daily Podcast takes a look at some positive injury news for the Tennessee Titans, the biggest dumpster fire in all of college football, and Billy Napier's plan, an odd one, to rebuild Florida. Tuesday, December the 7th, and the Zone Daily Podcast starts right now.
Yesterday's headlines, tonight's topics, and one big story you need to know. This is the Zone Daily Podcast. Will Bowling.
Back off of the bye week, and maybe with a couple of big stars back on the field. Welcome to the Zone Daily Podcast, where we get you headlines and analysis to start your day, your daily news show of record here in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm your host, Will Bowling. Julio Jones was moved to designated for return from injured reserve, along with receiver Racy McMath and safety Dane Cruikshank, opening up a 21-day window for all three players to return to practice with the team, and they will not count against the team's 53-man roster until activated from injured reserve. Of course, Julio Jones, he was placed on IR back on November the 13th and would give this team a much-needed boost in the thinnest position on the entire roster. Julio's got 21 catches for 336 this season. He's played in only six games. That's good for 16 yards per reception for a guy who still has not found the end zone yet, but definitely makes this team a lot better and gives you a focal point on an offense that is dying for somebody of any kind of star potential or star ability to just take over. Racy McMath, he's only played in four games this year. He has not played since being placed on IR back on October the 8th. Dane Cruikshank, he's been on IR since November the 13th. He played in nine games before suffering an injury and could certainly help given the fact that the lowest player, according to Pro Football Focus, graded in the Titans' loss to the New England Patriots was safety Amani Hooker. Getting Julio back is a big piece of the next steps for the Titans, and Ian Rappaport yesterday on NFL Network reported that Julio could maybe be in contention to play this upcoming Sunday against the Jacksonville Jaguars. You'll hear that, and a little note about Derrick Henry right here from Ian Rappaport.
The entire thought process behind putting Julio Jones on injured reserve was, you know what, put him to the side, get the hamstring better, and just fix it. Just go away for 3 weeks and just fix it. And that basically is where the Titans are. They were able to stay in the mix despite, obviously, no Derrick Henry, despite not having Julio Jones, two of their big guns, Henry coming back later in the season. Jones may end up being back this week. They want to get out there. They want to see him run. They want to make sure he's fully healed and healthy. Mike Vrabel, as you might imagine, not quite into hypotheticals or what-ifs or whatever, wants to see him first before making any decision. But the fact that he is able to have his practice window open, the fact that he is able to get out there and show that he is healthy is a very good sign.
Two things to break down right there. One, the caution that we knew the Titans were having with Julio. And two, Ian Rappaport admitting when Derrick Henry returns. Interesting note. Didn't really make a lot of fuss about saying it. But still, that is appears to be an assumption that Ian Rappaport, Diana Rossini of ESPN, and many others are working under. Now, Mike Vrabel did give an update about Derrick Henry yesterday, saying he will not be out there with the team this week. But we are officially on Henry watch, ladies and gentlemen. After that win over the Indianapolis Colts back on Halloween, we have now reached 5 weeks, going on 6 weeks without Derrick Henry in this lineup. Going to be interesting to see when we hear some specific buzz about him practicing and him getting closer to a return, if that does end up happening this year for the Tennessee Titans. Of course, A.J. Brown, he was placed on IR back on November the 27th. He'll be eligible to return when the Titans host the 49ers 2 days before Christmas, Thursday, December the 23rd, on Thursday Night Football. Shifting gears back to college football, where more chaos happens yesterday, featuring the biggest dumpster fire in college football. Yeah, I'm talking about the Miami Hurricanes, who pursued former Miami offensive lineman Mario Cristobal over the weekend, the current Oregon head coach at the time, even though they had not yet fired Manny Diaz. Diaz had been on the road recruiting, and now he is let go after three seasons, told, to come home from recruiting after three seasons of 21-15 ball, finishing 7-5 this year. Cristobal obviously has ties to the glory days of Miami football. He won a pair of national championships as an offensive lineman. He's been a great head coach as well. 35-13 as Oregon's head coach. He won Pac-12 titles in 2019 And in 2020, despite being steamrolled in Las Vegas by the Utah Utes over the weekend in the 2021 Pac-12 championship. But this to me screams like something that children and fans do and not adults. We've seen Tennessee make a lot of crazy head-scratching moves over the past 12 years of football that have included Lane Kiffin, Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, and now Josh Heupel. We've seen pretty much everything that you can see in college football, and even Tennessee fans haven't seen this. Yes, Cristobal is a great recruiter. The unsigned class so far for Oregon is in the top 10. He reeled in one of the top players in the country in Kayvon Thibodeau, who will now be one of the top picks in the NFL draft this upcoming season. He's been terrific, but Manny Diaz didn't deserve this. I don't care that Manny Diaz left to become the head coach at Temple in 2018, and then when Mark Richt announced his retirement, decided less than a month later that he would come back and actually coach the Hurricanes after spending just 1 month as the head coach for the Temple Owls. I don't think that matters one bit in this equation. It does not change the human reaction we should all have when a guy is out there selling your university, working on behalf of your athletic department, and then all of a sudden, he gets back and learns that he needs to clean out his office. It's a bad look for the University of Miami. It's a bad look for a program that has continued to stub its toe every single time they try to reboot a football program that has not been the same since, well, Tennessee was also in its glory days. This program seems to be desperate for a winner so much, and I think Tennessee fans can relate to the way that Miami goes about these things with the worst possible order of operations. And this is probably one that takes the cake. Shame on you, Miami, for doing this the way that you did it. It's like what we all said to Tennessee last year when they fired Jeremy Pruitt with cause instead of just paying the guy's buyout and getting a head start on the transfer portal and on recruiting for the early signing period. If you're going to do this kind of thing, just go ahead and have a little bit of courage and do it. Don't waste around, don't waste everybody's time, and don't wait while your guy is still on the road recruiting to bring him back and make a change. So we transition from one team in Florida to another team that actually hired its head coach the way that you're supposed to with Billy Napier, a guy that, again, was a part of a terrific staff for Nick Saban in Alabama. Stop me if you've heard that one before, back in 2015. That 15 coaching staff for Alabama now has Florida's Billy Napier, Georgia's Kirby Smart, Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss, Mel Tucker and Michigan State, and Mario Cristobal at Miami. Billy Napier is known as a big-time recruiter. He's landed some big names in his career. He's landed Cam Robinson, Calvin Ridley, Jerry Jeudy, Tosh Boyd, former Tennessee commit, I might add. And he has been one of the best, most relentless recruiters in the country. And at Florida, I'm worried from the Tennessee perspective that he's going to have the ability to recruit the most fertile recruiting ground in the country. And in his contract, he appears to have every resource available to him to get that done. He's got $5 million in his contract for, quote, other support staff members, which should allow him a complete army of people to help him evaluate and to sign the biggest recruits in the state of Florida. But this quote from Billy Napier in his introductory press conference was interesting to me because Napier, when sold as a Saban assistant, creates a little bit of skepticism that he's not going to be any different from any of the other Saban assistants that have tried to beat the big guy and have lost. But this is a guy who has built something from the ground up at the University of Louisiana and won another Sun Belt championship over the weekend. And when you listen to this quote, it's a bit odd, the wording of it, but he sounds like a guy with a very specific plan.
We've got to sign around 25 players a year, right? And I think that there's enough out there. I think the important part here is that we don't get consumed with the stars, you know, 4-star, 5-star. I think it's going to be more about evaluation, right? We're going to go through a very thorough evaluation process. And I think the last thing we need to do here is, you know, make some mistakes. So, you know, we'll probably, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we don't sign many at all, to be honest with you. But there may be a few out there that are willing to jump in here in the last minute. But let me say this about that. I think that, you know, for me, I think it's important in recruiting that both sides understand each other.
Now, Billy Napier is going to do things his way. And he also said in his introductory press conference that he's going to be the play caller and the quarterback's coach, essentially making him the head coach, quarterback's coach, and the offensive coordinator. It's bold. Now, if the plan works, Florida's going to be in great shape. But if the plan doesn't work, and Billy Napier doesn't end up signing anybody in this early signing period, it could be a very quick exit for the man who just came over from the Ragin' Cajuns of Louisiana. I've seen a guy talk like this in his introductory press conference, a former Saban assistant with a lot of energy named Jeremy Pruitt, who wanted to always do things his way and in his specific plan. And talking to Coach Dave McGinnis about this in the Buck Rising show on Friday, one of the biggest keys he said to being a successful first-time head coach is being willing to hire coaches who you might admit know more about football than you do. If it works for Billy Napier, it's going to be great. If it doesn't, Florida's going to be doing this again in a couple of years. So that is the Zone Daily Podcast for today. Make sure you subscribe to the show, Apple, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher, and find us as well on 1045thezone.com. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. right here on the Zone Daily Podcast.